Welcome back, Sherlockians. Today on the Sherlock After Show, we talk about all of Sherlock's problems for the season 4 finale. Stay tuned.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Hello, Sherlockians. Welcome back to the AfterBuzz TV After Show for the Sherlock. We are here doing season 4, episode 3, the final problem, season 4 finale. I'm your host, Marissa Serafini. You can follow me on Twitter at SerafiniTV. And of course, joining me once again, the panel, introduce yourselves.
Hello, I'm Drexel Hurd. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Drexel Hurd.
I'm Megan Salinas. You guys can tweet at me at the Menguin. That's THEMENGUIN.
Hello, Sherlockians. My name is Timothy Michael, and you can find me on social media platforms at I am Timothy Mike. I just had to get that Sherlockians word in there, Marissa. I love that word.
Isn't it fun?
I love it.
Say it a million times. Sherlockian. Because we are Sherlocky.
In our Sherlockathon.
Yeah, I like the Sherlockathon. I like that. Although, it's sad to think that, we waited so long to be back at this table. It's sad to think that we...
An hour.
...might not... It's been so long, guys. But it's sad to think that we might never be back at this table to talk about Sherlock.
We'll get there. But right now we are. So, this final... The final problem... Quick thoughts about this.
Loved it.
Yes.
I think it was a very fitting send-off if this is the end of the series. That being said, I do have some problems with it, but...
This is the final one?
Yes, I have the one final problem with this series, but no.
Fun game is on point.
Honestly, the problems that I have are nitpicky. All in all, I think this was a really solid finale.
I thought it was an amazing finale. It was like Saw meets like A Beautiful Mind.
Yes.
Like finale. I thought it was amazing.
I completely thought Saw. I thought this was great. It was scary. I didn't know if it was a horror film or a thriller film. I was like, we're watching Sherlock.
You know what
right?
this was? This was basically if Hannibal Lecter had been doing what Jigsaw does.
Yes.
Exactly.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Saw means Hannibal Lecter. That is better when I like that.
Yeah. Very, very true. But let's start this whole episode off like how this episode started. Mycroft, he's watching home a video.
Not even a video, that, like, a projector reel.
A projector.
Back, who watches movies that way?
He likes his old-fashioned movies, but quickly gets interrupted by Eurus, or so he thinks. Your thoughts of this.
Can I just
so scary.
Point out that the thought of a clown brandishing a sword at me, like, that is nightmare fuel for days.
And for everybody. Like,
yeah.
I'm not afraid of clowns, but I was afraid of that dude.
I don't mind that Mycroft had to run because I'm like, that is the stuff of nightmare.
And the little
real
girl running around. Nope.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think that, obviously we come to find out that, Euros wasn't part of the whole message in the end of the reel. It was Sherlock trying to get his brother to confess to something. Yes, but that little girl, the clown, is too much.
Clown.
I loved that whole scene because it. I know we brought it up a couple times. The CBS version of Elementary. It reminded me of how Johnny Lee Miller's character would go about trying to get somebody to confess, like setting them up.
Yeah,
like we have never seen Sherlock really set someone up in a fun, what he deems as fun, and Johnny Lee Miller's character or portrayal of Sherlock does that quite often.
Yeah,
putting those people in that position.
So Sherlock sure enjoyed that though.
Yeah. Yeah. Straight up like haunted house like sort of
right.
setup and scenario.
It
was really great.
It did take me a little bit out of the world a little bit because I know in the first episode that we covered tonight, we had stated that it picks up right where usually where episodes leave off. But in this one, I was just a little confused because I was like, well, in the last episode, it ended with Watson getting shot by Euros, mm-hmm. And then I was like, okay, well, where are they? What happened? Did he get shot? And then come to find out, like, oh, it was just a tranquilizer, and then that's what happened with
Watson's
that.
Watson's fine.
Yeah, I was like, okay, well, I wish they would have cleaned that up a little bit. But, I mean, still great episode.
I'm glad he's okay, because obviously we can't really have Sherlock without Watson,
Yeah.
The yin and yang. But that really brings us to Mycroft actually telling about Sherlock's past, the family history, the Musgraves.
Oh.
What were your thoughts of, like, just knowing how the... We had a sister, like it's my family, that they had a sister, And she had a dark side to her. She was intelligent, obviously, like really intelligent, and Sherlock's the middle child. but she's so intelligent that she got uncontrollable.
Well, it's I mean, what we see in her is what we see, like, if Sherlock had gone down a different road. Like, mm-hmm. that is the type of person he could have ended up as. Because, like, she can't even distinguish between the most, like, basic of emotions. Like, when she hurts herself to see how her muscles work, she's like, pain, which one is that? Like, she can't even identify it. Which, yeah.
Disturbing.
It's very disturbing, and it says a lot about, like I said, the type of person that she could become. But when we first meet Sherlock, he's struggled with emotions throughout the entire series, and he's always tried to put his emotions off to the side, although he can't really help it. We see in her what he would be like without emotions, and without that, like, the people around him to kind of morally guide him, the family that he's created. Like, without them, he would be like a Moriarty or like Euros.
See, I disagree with you. I think that Sherlock could have never become Euros, because Euros was like that from the beginning. That's just who she was as a person. That's who
Whereas
she was born into.
He was super sensitive.
Right.
Yeah.
And then everything that she did to him, that's what caused him to become emotionally detached from everything else.
Because he repressed it all.
Right. So if he was going to go down that road, it would have happened after everything that she did to him. But we saw the kind of person that he became. He just becomes this emotionally detached person.
I wrote down a couple things, but Euros reminds me of a person that might have Asperger's. Just that kind of
borderline
Asperger's. But I also wrote down, because I'm going to stick with my Harry Potter tradition on this episode, and in Fantastic, Euros reminded me of an Obscurus. In the sense that, you know, she can combust at any time. Like, you don't know what's going to happen. And so I thought that was a really interesting, because I was like, this is crazy. Like, she's a little nuts. From the little girl at the beginning on the airplane, like, there was a lot going on.
The most evil Ravenclaw. Oh my goodness. Yeah.
Yes. She was. Yeah.
She's like a Slytherin Ravenclaw.
She is.
Yeah. I guess I'm just jumping on that wagon now, you guys.
Get on the Harry Potter bandwagon.
Yeah, I love Harry Potter. That's a really good point. And I liked this whole buildup, or like the explanation of, we had Euros. She was part of our family. She had a dark side. Dog. We know that she did something to a dog, Redbeard. So
first sign of serial killers, just pointing that out.
Very, very true.
Yep.
Turns out it's even worse than that.
Yeah. And if we can get the chat room back up too, just in case anybody's in the chat room, that'd be great.
Yeah, although I like that we finally get an answer about, you know, Sherlock's past, because the most we've ever gotten is when he was shot by Mary and he's kind of having this hallucinatory, you know, flashback scene where you find out Redbeard's his dog, and, you know, you find out a little bit about his relationship with his brother, and I feel like that's the most we've ever gotten from him regarding his past. And so seeing this whole episode be all about unpacking this thing that even he doesn't quite remember or can really grasp, I thought that was a fascinating journey that we were taking with him.
I also love the fact that we never really got their parents. We've never seen their parents either.
Yeah.
We've never seen Sherlock.
Didn't we see their parents like once?
We saw their parents.
Yeah. Very briefly.
And they walked in.
Like, we saw their parents later on. I'm talking about we've seen them in the...
I want to say, like,
we saw them in this episode.
We saw the parents like
last season.
Yeah. But like, again, that was literally so long ago. If you're binging all of the seasons, then it's not that long ago. But for us who watched, you know, when they aired, it's been a while.
Right. And then we did not see them until this season again. Mm-hmm. But I'm saying, in the flashbacks, like, we never really got Sherlock's back, like how he grew up. And then now we get this onslaught of his siblings and their relationships. And because we've only seen Sherlock and Mycroft, now we've got the two dynamics that Sherlock had to deal with.
It's it's also like we see their family when they were young. They seem like a seemingly happy family,
yeah, too,
in like a loving atmosphere. It was the environment was warm. They had great parents. It just makes you question, how did this girl get so dark who was raised in such a positive kind of atmosphere?
Well, what we forget from, you know, the last time that we did see them very briefly was that their parents are normal. Their parents are normal, mm-hmm, people, mm-hmm, who have who are bringing up these three brilliant, like a like head in the clouds, brilliant children. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're three
super genius
children, and it makes sense that, again, given the parents are normal parents, it kind of makes sense when she goes down this dark path. Why other members of their family choose to take the route that they do, because they're like, you as like normal thinking people are not equipped for this, which is super condescending, but it makes sense from that kind of genius perspective, mm-hmm, of like, we're just going to take her away and you don't have to deal with her anymore, and it's just easier for you to believe that she's dead.
Yeah, and being at such a young age, it's so easy to gaslight them. Which is really, yeah, terrible, but that's what Mycroft essentially did to Sherlock.
But I also found it interesting that Mycroft, like, they weren't, Sherlock and Mycroft and Eros aren't that far apart in age. Probably, like, within, what, five years?
It's at 7 years. Mycroft is the oldest by 7 years.
Mm-hmm. To Eros.
Seven years to Sherlock.
Okay.
And then Sherlock and Eros is within a year apart.
Yeah. So, like, I'm 7 years older than my youngest brother. Like, so, but it's really interesting that Mycroft took on the role of parent to such normal parents that they could not identify or deal with Eros as a kid, and it took Mycroft to be the parent to say,
which is funny,
both of these kids.
Because they later on refer to Sherlock as being as the grown up.
Right.
You've always been the grown up.
Which is weird.
Yeah.
I feel like maybe, you know, Eros's abilities had something to do with that. I mean, you know, it takes somebody to know somebody, and I feel like them two being super geniuses could only relate to Eros as a super genius. So she's probably manipulating her parents just like she did with everybody else.
That's fair.
It's very true, because we haven't really seen the parents with Eros alone,
yeah,
until, you know, the end. But moving on to when they're actually talking to Mycroft, we got the whole patience grenade.
That was scary.
It was scary, but also I think the scene had like a great balance of comedy in it as well. They're worried about Mrs. Hudson underneath.
Who's like listening, like, to rock?
You're closest to the door, so distance is like a bigger factor than time. You know, when the bomb explodes or like grenade explodes, I was like, it was scary. Yes, it's a scary situation, but it was well balanced with humor. Mm-hmm.
And I thought it was cool because you get to see Mycroft think on the fly too. Mm-hmm. Like, we're so used to Sherlock telling, like, saying this is how things are going to work, and Mycroft was also doing that at the same time, saying, yeah, they're piggybacking off of each other, being like, yep, this was happening, and John Watson standing there going, okay, I got this bomb, and this is what's going to happen, I'm scared to death, and
let's wait for Mrs. Hudson to stop vacuuming.
Right.
When I also love when they include Mrs. Hudson in their thought process, because, mm-hmm, it just goes to show that they really do care about her, and it's like, okay, well, we can go now, but they're like, wait, Mrs. Hudson does this at this specific time on this day. Like, he knows her schedule, so you know he cares about
her.
Mom. Absolutely.
Well, yeah. Also, you want to, like, eliminate collateral damage and all that, so, like, I did like the fact that they do factor in Mrs. Hudson. No. It was just humorous.
No, I really enjoyed this, and again, we get, the first half of the episode, we get a lot of humor, because the second half of the episode gets so dark and overbearing. Although, watching this scene, I did wonder, I was like, is there like a movie or a TV show where a villain does send a bomb to go and kill the hero in the, like, the first act or the second act, and it actually works? I would absolutely love to see a movie or a TV show where it actually works. And kills the hero, and then the bad guy's like, wait, that wasn't, you were supposed to get away from that, oh, now I don't know what to do, oh, shoot.
Nope.
And then there's no movie.
Yeah, I was like, it's over. But that sends them to Sheraton Ford Island, which apparently is the prison, not a person, because there have been a lot of speculations that the third sibling is actually Sheraton Ford. It's actually a place.
It reminds me of Skyfall.
A little bit, yeah.
Like this place.
I actually haven't seen Skyfall.
I'm surprised you didn't stick with your Harry Potter theme and say Alcatraz.
I was thinking Alcatraz.
You know what I mean?
No, I totally
I always like just like jumped on the back of the fingers.
See, this is why he does not get to make the Harry Potter references.
I mean,
you should have
put Alcatraz. It's kind of like an Alcatraz, though. It's an island.
Thank you,
Meg. In my head, I was thinking that the house that the Holmes grew up in was Skyfall. And yes, Azkaban is definitely where Eurus is.
Yeah, being it was
at.
Just missing the Dementors.
For sure.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I was also kind of thinking Shutter Island as well. But
ooh,
yeah.
That's a good bit. Yeah.
But yeah, they managed to work their way onto Sherriford Island. I love this whole setup, though. It was just smart and so in character how they would go under and managed to get on that.
Yeah, and we talked a lot about villains hiding in plain sight in this season, and we see Sherlock use that to his advantage. Mm-hmm. They create this sort of distraction with Mycroft's disguise that Sherlock is able to sneak in unnoticed, and I like
that. Did you notice him? I totally did.
You knew that was Mycroft? Yeah. I thought that was Sherlock.
When they showed the governor on the side and they showed the guy behind him, I was like, that's Sherlock.
Wait, I see you.
And then he's walked out because, like, governor is like, go make sure Eurus is okay, keep eyes on her. And, like, he literally gave it, he saw the half side profile. I was like, that's Sherlock.
This is why Marissa totally needs to work in security, and we all need to not.
If I ever need serious service, I know who to call it.
Yep.
She knows how the criminal mind works.
Because she watches Criminal Minds.
I watch too much Criminal Minds. Yes. Moving on. But we get Sherlock actually manages to get down to Eurus. What did you think of this first interaction?
I thought, just stealing the words from Meg, what you said earlier, just when Clarice sees Hannibal Lecter in the cell for the first time, that's exactly what I thought
of. There's even a glass wall!
I know! That's exactly what my mind immediately went to.
It also reminds me of, and I love NBC's The Blacklist, and I know we do that show. We do The Blacklist here at AfterBuzz. I don't, but there's a Blacklist after
2
show.
O'clock. Tune in.
With Red.
With Red. It reminds me of the first season of The Blacklist when what's her name? Elizabeth first meets Red in the cube. And Red, who is as manipulative, not as Eurus, but pretty manipulative, that's what happens. He meets her in the box. Yeah.
For me, very, very Silence of the Lambs, but it's more Red Dragon in my mind because Clarice is a rookie in the FBI, whereas when we have this meeting between Sherlock and Eurus, it kind of was more like the Edward Norton meeting with Hannibal Lecter because it's like there are these two people. They are very much on the same playing field, but at the same time, there's a clear power differential, and they're both trying to get the better of the other.
Agreed. Yes. Well, things go quickly south during all this. We know that there's not a glass wall there. She's actually able to get out, and then chaos ensues. And then we are solved. Like, they are left to solve with the problems. Problem one. With the governor, Sherlock, Mycroft, and Watson. They have to shoot. They have to shoot the governor. It's either Watson or Mycroft has to shoot the governor.
I have a quick question. Yeah. Yeah, they have to shoot the warden. But I have a quick question.
He's the governor.
Do you guys really buy that she is this manipulative? Because on the one hand, she is clearly this genius character who, again, her level of thinking is on an entirely different plane. But on the other hand, I look at it and like she's borderline like psychic power magical in order to be able to manipulate people to the degree that they've shown that she's able to manipulate them.
That part was a little bit unbelievable to me. It's almost as if she Vulcan, you know, did a little Vulcan
Jedi mind trick
or something to somebody. Yeah. And so
are the droids you're looking for.
Right. It's like how did she get the governor to do what he wanted? Like there was just some weird stuff happening that I was like, okay.
Mm-hmm. I feel like if this was like a Hannibal Lecter scenario where we got to watch an entire movie of her breaking somebody down mentally and then getting them to do what she wanted them to do, I feel like it would make sense. But since it's just something said in passing that we're just supposed to accept, I'm like, hold the phone.
Yeah.
I don't I don't know how I feel about that.
Yeah, yeah. I'm speaking of the first problem, though. I could see why Sherlock would ask Mycroft to do it first.
Yeah.
Just because of everything that's happened with John and guns.
Well, and it's also Mycroft should take responsibility.
Yeah.
Well, not only that, I just feel like, you know, and John, you know, ultimately steps up and decides to do it, but then can't do it. And I can see why he can't do it. So that just that just mindset of Sherlock being like, I'm going to look out for Watson in this way and ask Mycroft to do it first. I just keep getting like just baffled by how much he really does care for Watson.
But I also think it has a lot to do with the fact that Mycroft still is his older brother at the same time. Mm-hmm. And I think that at a certain point, Mycroft has been making a lot of decisions for Sherlock. And so Sherlock hands his gun to the person who makes the decisions for him. Mm. And that's Mycroft, and so he gets this gun.
And also
just shows the influence that Eros does have on people, that, she can manipulate people to turn on to each other. Therefore, she can still get the same result that she wanted in the beginning.
Like, literally any of the little experiments that she puts them through, that's enough content for, like, an hour and a half long thriller. Oh, like, psychological thriller. Yeah.
Yes, exactly. So, we got to the point where Watson was going to shoot her, can't. And then it turns up really fast that the governor shoots himself.
Right. And all the while this is going on, we've got this other problem.
We have the wife.
They've got this other problem that Sherlock is having to deal with, which is the girl on the plane happening at the same time. So, like, he's having to deal with the problem that's in front of him and the problem that is outside of what he believes is outside.
Basically, it's like the immediate problem is that one of these two people, either the wife or the governor, is going to die. And then you also have a potential entire plane full of people
that are going to die.
that are definitely going to die if you don't solve these problems quick enough. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and the thing that they set up with the problem on is that whole internal moral conflict that Eros is playing off of each other, because you have it that actually it causes deaths in the end, or like that'll actually work against you rather than for you.
This is the first time that we've seen a villain or an antagonist to Sherlock kill somebody in cold blood on screen. We saw that happen.
I will say Moriarty, we were talking about this last episode, Moriarty actually did kill people. Like, he killed that one old lady.
Because
she knew just a little too much, so he did kill her. So Moriarty did kill people for sure. That doesn't diminish when we see Eros kill in cold blood time and time again in this episode. And it is shocking every single time.
Shoots the wife cold blank, point blank, really. But unfortunately, both of them died, the governor and his wife.
She's like, you didn't do what I said. That was the parameter of the experiment, so
and
this
moving
is how
on.
It's going
to
be.
Moving on to problem two, the Red Room, pretty much, where they have to solve, Sherlock has to solve, who's the shooter? This guy? Yes.
Jeez,
out of these
man.
Three brothers, how do you deduct who was the guy who shot the guy?
And this was messed up.
Obviously it's Sherlock, so he does it pretty fast. But after that first problem, did we really think that wasn't
that
going
was
to happen
be a fair
in a second?
Fight in any way, shape,
like,
or form?
I didn't expect all three of them to go.
Yeah, because she's like, condemn this one. This is what I want you to do. In the same way that she said, you know, shoot this guy in the head, and if you do that, then, you know, this lady gets to live. So we make the assumption that if we do, you know, go through this and say, yes, this I condemn this man, that he'll be the only one to suffer if she's adhering to the parameters of the last experiment. And then when she doesn't, it's like, holy crap. Mm-hmm.
Cool. Well, do you guys think that the three brothers had any symbolism to them as three siblings? Because once they condemn the person who actually does it, Eros, she drops the other two, the innocent ones, being, you know, Sherlock and Mycroft. And then she just drops them all together.
I feel like there's definitely a potential
like
parallel
there. Like, they're all dead in the end. It could be definitely a metaphor for, like, just the sibling relationship general.
And especially with where we see her mental state is later in the episode of, like, we'll get to it, but basically, I need somebody to save me from myself.
Yeah.
But I did like in this problem that we saw the relationship between Sherlock and Watson in this. We are soldiers. You can see Mycroft is like slowly devolving in his thought process. He's not thinking clearly, but it's still Sherlock and Watson. Their game is still on, and they're working together. And I think, you know, that just sets up like how good their working relationship is. I really enjoy it. Which takes us to problem three, the coffin.
I just want to start this out because I was reading that the creators had written a completely different scene.
Really?
And that the cast did not like it. So they changed this scene to the scene that it is currently, which was the Molly scene. Yeah.
What was it originally? Yeah.
You guys have to look it up, but I think it was like the coffin was there and... And then I think a name was in the call. I think so. It was like completely different. Like the phone call was the change, and like calling Molly was the change.
Oh
so,
my goodness! Yeah. Yes. So we
good
find
change.
Out,
good change.
There's a coffin there. Sherlock has to figure out who it's for. We find out it's actually for Molly Hooper, and then they have 3 minutes because her house is rigged for Molly to say on the phone, "I love you" to Sherlock. Thoughts of this. This is so mean and plain. No, it is mean because we see Sherlock. Like we've always known that Molly has pined for Sherlock all these years of knowing her.
This was painful.
And this is like the worst thing to do for Molly to say this. It's just like mean to Molly to have her go through this and say this to Sherlock and put her through this. Thoughts?
I agree. No, it was like it was emotionally torturing. That's exactly what it was. Yes. Because like you said, Molly has you know had these affections for Sherlock, and they've just deepened over the years. And Sherlock has never really reciprocated these feelings because he's been emotionally cut off. Like if you think about it, it's so twisted because he's emotionally cut off from the world because of what Eros did to him, and now he has to show his feelings to this one girl in order to save her life. Like that is
feelings
so
that
twisted.
He doesn't necessarily have because he's emotionally cut off.
Right, and she calls it too when he's like, "I just need you to say I love you," and she's like, "Well, you say it first." And I was mm-hmm. like, "Oh no!"
Right, yeah. But I think at the same time we also forget that Sherlock really does have genuine feelings for Irene. So
for Molly.
No, for Irene Adler.
For Irene Adler. Yeah.
So I don't think that he's emotionally detached to everybody. I think he does love Irene, and so Molly's just kind of like the girl that's in love with him.
And but
that's
what makes about
it. And
her.
She's the little sister.
But that's what makes it mean because like the fact that Sherlock has to say these words that could be very meaningful, but he actually doesn't really mean it towards Molly. That's what makes it hurt more.
Although he could have said it in a brotherly way and still gotten away with
or
it,
or just like in as a friend.
Right. I love you, buddy.
No. Like I do actually truly care for you because you are a friend, and that's
absolutely
what he says.
Love
like
you
are my friend.
Right. Yeah.
And where we saw like. You know, we mentioned it previously, that Sherlock doesn't really have a lot of friends.
Right.
And even Mycroft said, like, that list is pretty short.
Yeah,
right.
But the fact that he does say it on the phone to Molly is like, no, you are my friend. I'm like,
God. We've seen it in the past, like, he does care about Molly in his own way. Not necessarily a romantic relationship, but he does care about her a lot in the same way that he cares about Lestrade and the same way he cares about a lot of, you know, Mrs. Hooper. You know, these are people in his life who have become his family.
Mm-hmm.
And you can tell he feels bad about hurting her. And so doing this, he really does care about her, but, like, he'll never love her in that way, so he feels terrible about this unreciprocated relationship.
I also think that had something happened to Molly as a character, that would have completely destroyed Sherlock. For the second time, he would have been the cause of a female in his life's death. And that would have ended the whole thing.
Oh, yeah. Exactly. Could you imagine if, like, he had gotten her to say I love you and then Eros just blew up the house anyway.
That would have been it.
That would have been terrible.
I'd have thrown the remote. I said it's over. I'm taking a break. That's it.
Bye, guys.
Series done.
One of the lines that really hit me is like, I know you're not an experiment. You're my friend.
Mm.
Oh, my God. We talk about it, like Sherlock has a high IQ, tends to have lower EQ, but this was all an emotional Sherlock in this episode. It really just shows that he does truly care about people, and he is human at the end of the day. love it. Okay, moving on to Sure.
Then he crushes, destroys when he finds out there was no bomb.
As he should. He's just in a terrible state to put him and Molly through that. That's just mental.
The plane is still
up in the air, still going. Very brief conversations with her while Euros also pulls up sound clips for Moriarty.
Yep.
Okay. Let's quickly talk about these Moriarty clips. Did you enjoy them? The taunting of Moriarty.
It's always nice seeing the actor again.
Really, is it?
It wasn't necessary.
Exactly.
But I did like how, you know, at the very beginning of the season that we had with the Christmas special, we basically say, look, there's no way Moriarty survived this. He is dead. This is something he set up
prior
to his death. So I like that they stuck to their guns on that one, that there wasn't some magical nonsense where he lived and there's no explanation for it. So I'm willing to accept it, but at the same time, I could understand why it would be a little grating.
I mean, I like the same thing. I like that they finally wrapped up where these Moriarty clips came from. You know, he had 5 unsupervised minutes with her because of Mycroft. Yeah, well,
treats.
it was his bad older brother.
Treats.
Yeah, his
well,
her
we,
gifts.
Well, we also know that that Euros like could predict terrorist attacks before anyone else could, and therefore she would give vital information to the government, and in return she'd get treats.
Treats, right?
That's
but I mean, it just blows my mind even more because she had these unsupervised minutes with Moriarty, and she's the one that sent Moriarty after Sherlock. So if you think about it, the whole season 1 and 2 of Moriarty is all because of her. Mind blown.
Well, didn't she want to talk to him in the first place because he was obsessed with Sherlock?
No, because
I'm not sure what the time frame on this.
No, because this
was
5 years ago. 5 years ago, 3 years ago, one of those.
5 years ago.
5 years ago, yeah. But that's what I got from it. I feel like she's the one who sent Moriarty after him.
It's entirely possible.
And it also just makes sense where the whole Miss Me clip, because we found out that Moriarty's brother was part of, like, a broadcasting system.
Oh, yeah. Mm.
So, like, his brother can broadcast Moriarty's pre-recorded tapes of Miss Me, and that's how everyone in the world could see it. So that makes sense of how all these just pre-recorded things. My thing is, like, Moriarty was such a great antagonist. I mentioned it before. But they didn't... I feel they don't give their actors enough credit to the fact that can't he just be dead? Like, leave him alone. He's fine. Or the fact that they don't believe the show is good enough to not have their favorite character in their show. Like, they have to keep bringing them back just to keep the fans interested.
Well I also think that I keep referencing Elementary because it's now. Like, this is a show that we see every week on CBS. And Moriarty is not on the show. But Sherlock consistently brings up Moriarty even on the show, even when Moriarty's not even around. So I just think that Moriarty is just a character that's just woven through this entire Sherlock.
Well, because isn't Moriarty a big presence in the novels, Marissa?
He's Sherlock's most well-known antagonist.
Right, yes. So that would explain why he would have a continued presence in the series.
He's a pop cultural icon in the same way that Watson and Sherlock are.
Yeah. Moriarty is pretty much Sherlock's kryptonite.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The Lex Luthor, the Joker.
The downfall of Sherlock.
Yeah.
So, but other than that, he destroys...
Here's the thing, though, he died at the end of season 1. Mm. Yes, that was your greatest arch enemy, whatever. Bringing him back...
Just to taunt us is kind of annoying.
Well,
like it doesn't bode well to his character.
Well, it's a way again I agree with you. I feel like dead is dead.
You shouldn't
have to bring them back to keep people interested. But the other thing is, when you take down the greatest adversary at the start, then I get it. You want to be able to still up the ante in some way.
But I also think that if this is the series, what we might think might be a series finale for this, and this is called The Final Problem, Moriarty was the problem. And to what Tim was saying, if Euros have manipulated Moriarty from the beginning and sent him from the beginning, this is a bookend to this. Once Euros is eliminated, Moriarty is effectively eliminated. So
The last remaining bits of Moriarty will be solved once this problem has been figured out.
Well, the thing is like we know that Moriarty helped Yura set all these problems up for Sherlock within those 5 minutes is unsupervised.
Isn't that crazy?
That's they were able to find all these situations.
I'd be like, you get five minutes with him, not unsupervised.
No.
Sorry, sis.
This was years ago. Well, like Sherlock can predict movements within like 3 weeks. This was years ago.
Yeah.
So that just makes Euros like even more threatening.
Well, and this was still when Moriarty was just a person of interest on Mycroft's radar.
Yes.
So I'm sure he didn't anticipate how escalated the situation was going to become.
Mm-hmm.
But it does raise the question of, like, once Moriarty starts doing all of these terrible things, you know, Mycroft has to be sitting there going,
Right. Okay, moving on to problem 4. We have Sherlock, Mycroft, and Watson. The elimination round. Hmm. We must shoot one person.
We were talking last episode about how Mycroft isn't a great brother. This is where I say he is a good brother,
mm-hmm.
because
mm-hmm.
he's actively trying
To be an ass,
to spare his brother the pain of killing his best friend, because his brother has already lived through the pain of losing a best friend, and he saw what it did to him. It destroyed him.
Mm-hmm.
So he's like, this is all my fault. I'm going to take responsibility for this, and I'm going to make it easy for you if I can.
But I also think that at the same time, Mycroft recognizes that he was never going to be the person that Sherlock needed like John Watson was. And Mycroft said, I will be the one to go because I can no longer be what I wanted to be to Sherlock. And that was what John Watson is.
Yeah, I think it was also, that realization that no matter, even if Sherlock did choose, it wouldn't be Mycroft. It would be Watson. Unfortunate as it is.
And he didn't want that pain. Mycroft didn't want that pain.
It escalated fast, and to the point where Sherlock was actually going to shoot himself.
Mm-hmm.
Nope. Within 10 seconds, they got knocked out. Moved on. It moved to the Musgrave Hall.
Skyfall.
Alcatraz, Azkaban, Shutter Island, all these places. Musgrave Hall, which is the final problem. The big showdown, more so. John is in a well. Chained up, surrounded by bones.
I was going to say, to tick off another, like, check off another box on the horror movie thing. It's like, oh, now we've got the creepy well in there, too.
Oh, yeah. Meanwhile, the girl in the plane is still going down.
Which, at this point, it's like, okay, I don't know how much I actually buy into this sort of scenario.
I just want to know how John got in the well. Like, that well was very deep.
16 by 6.
And how did... So, if you... Does somebody lower him down with a crane? Fall down in
I
the
buy
well?
It a lot more, getting John Watson into it, because she's a grown person at this point. You know, she can jury-rig a harness.
Yeah.
It was the tiny child getting another tiny child at the bottom of the well. I was like, how'd she do that?
Pulley system back then, too. Who knows? But John's in a well. The girl on the plane's still going down. And Sherlock has to figure this all out. Both of these going on at the same time. Mind you, hours and hours and hours. That's what the girl said. The little girl. I have it in my notes. That's too long. The plane would have crashed already.
Yeah.
But we get the reveal of who Redbeard is. Mm. Did you expect this? Did you see this coming?
No.
Redbeard is actually Sherlock Holmes' childhood best friend.
Trevor.
Just not a
like
dog.
Right before the words dropped, we never had a dog. I was just like, oh no.
Yeah, I thought it was a dog, and that was heartbreaking in itself, but then to find out it's an actual child, it's like,
well, at first I was like, oh god, they had another sibling? And then it turned out to be Sherlock's childhood best friend. But I was like, that could have been even worse.
Yeah. I thought it was crazy, and to your point, like, how do they get a child, another child? Like, how does that happen?
She's
able to brainwash people. She probably, like, you know,
tricked him into getting.
But again, we saw how deep that well was. You fall down that well,
you're dead.
You're not surviving.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
There was no like bucket to like take him down.
Well, and
like,
talk about how horrific the John Watson, as he's chained up, is he's like, there are tiny little bones here, and we're like, oh, that's where Redbeard was, the poor doggy. And then like, a couple minutes later, it turns out, guys, these aren't dog bones.
Yeah.
And like, oh, that was a horrifying thing.
That was a scary shot of actually seeing the skull and realizing it was a human.
Yeah.
And then juxtaposed with the editing, it was like, oh, this was actually a person, not a dog.
Well, and then hearing her talk about it, she's like, oh, do you want to lose another pet? She's referring to people as animals because she's just that detached.
Well, then because she was so jealous.
Right. Yeah. And let's not forget this because, she only did it because she was so jealous of the relationship that that Sherlock had with Trevor.
Yeah, like, I never had a best friend. I had no one. Which takes us to the tombstones that Sherlock has to figure out. I love it when it gets to like moments like this. You really see Sherlock's internal mind work and how he solved it.
But weren't those... I thought I remembered seeing those tombstones when they were kids.
They made a point of intentionally lingering on the tombstones during the flashback sequences earlier in the episode.
So did she set those tombstones up? That's what I want to know.
I think she set up the song so that...
Based on the tombstones.
Based
numbers.
On, like, so a code you could figure out from the tombstones.
So she figured out the tombstone. Oh, she made up the
whole... She used the tombstones to create a hidden message and then embedded that hidden message within the song.
But I remember them saying that Sherlock could not figure out some of the problems on the tombstones as a kid.
Right, which show that the tombstones were already there, so she had to...
And they said the tombstones were fake from the beginning.
Well, and he didn't know that the tombstones were where he needed to look to solve this puzzle. All he knew is that she was tormenting him with this song. And they couldn't figure it out, and they kept begging her to tell them, and she wouldn't.
Yeah. As a kid.
And it was the one line that she said, like, I never had a best friend, I had no one, which makes him think of Nemo, for in Latin, that means no one. Therefore, he goes to the tombstones. That's where
she's like, I'm going
to
give you one more clue this time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. This is where the message is. Emotional context. That's what she said. And I loved how he figured it out. I am lost. Help me, brother. Save my life. Before my doom, I am lost without your love. Save my soul. Seek my room. See? She was in a room.
Obscurus.
Yes. And we see Sherlock run up to the bedroom. And we find out that the little girl in the plane is actually her
prison.
Her mind palace. Which
of yours.
And that goes back to what I said earlier about the only person that has ever been inside Sherlock's mind palace was Eros, because she was the girl that was in. Remember, they were outside and they were eating fish and chips and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And then they were, and then she was seeing, like, they were both seeing, like, him push away the window, and there were things happening outside.
Wasn't John in his mind palace that one time with the waterfall and the cliff with Moriarty scene when they both ganged up on Moriarty? So I think that Sherlock also let John in there as well.
Well, I don't know, but I had a problem with this scenario being not real, because I understand what they were trying to do in terms of the emotional weight behind this revelation and trying to make her seem very sympathetic in these last couple minutes of the episode. But I was like, because much like we were talking about in our earlier recap shows earlier tonight, I feel like it diminishes the stakes throughout the rest of the episode. Like I said, because the little girl's not really in danger. The person who's in danger is a murderous sociopath. Yes, she's somebody who needs saving, but there's not an entire plane full of people that is going to crash into a city somewhere. For me, like, the soul of this one sociopath is less important than the soul of, like, an entire plane full of people.
Well, my question is, and I was just thinking about, how did she get her internal mind palace recorded on audio.
Mm. I guess she's just acting
for Sherlock. Or, like, and this is, I don't know, maybe I watched too many films or I just saw Split, the movie, where, like, I was kind of thinking that maybe she has a, like, split personality disorder. I mean, she could have a mental disorder.
Like, she's dissociated like, this part of her innocence. Yeah.
Her, like, she has a personality that is the smaller, younger girl who's stuck on a plane, and you recorded that audio. Like, my question is, how did we get the audio recording that Sherlock and everyone else can hear?
She might have asked Moriarty to help her.
If it was all internal.
You know what she is?
She's that a Horcrux.
Oh, my God.
That's it.
You're right.
Actually, Sherlock is Harry Potter.
Spelliarmus.
That's my only question. But, going back to like the a little bit about the Redbeard, because I rewatched this episode at the beginning when we saw little young Eros drawing, there was a picture of her. She drew a picture of a redhead boy with an X through it. Mm. And I was like, oh my God, that's Redbeard. I didn't pick it up the first time.
We think she's drawing pictures of like Sherlock.
A kid, but she drew a picture of little boy Redbeard with an X through it. And that's and then she burned down
the house.
Check
off another box on another horror movie trope list. Kid drawing creepy pictures.
And I know folks in the chat room are talking about how contrived they felt this episode was, because there was a lot of things, like we said, that they were just so abnormal
that we just had to accept.
You
just have to shrug. And I think contrived is a good word for it, but again, I get what they were trying to go for emotionally speaking.
Talking about emotion, what did you think about Sherlock actually having an emotional moment with his sister?
I think that's what she wanted this whole time. She just wanted her brother's love, and that is why she created this mind palace. That is why she created all of this to
she
torment
just
him.
She wanted someone to play with.
Yeah, oh, you're so creepy.
Come play with me, Sherlock, forever and ever.
But then, it was a good moment, especially for Sherlock, to get emotional, other than, like, I think the brotherly family instinct got over him.
I would have liked this emotional connection had it not been the little girl in the airplane. Like, if he had somehow found a way to emotionally reach her without that kind of contrived nonsense, I feel like it would have been more powerful. But I did like that is what she wanted. She just wanted, you know, her brother's love. And I like that. Yeah. I like a sympathetic villain.
Yes, help me save John Watson.
Right.
And so now he had to save his sister. Now he has to save his best friend. Which I'm glad it had a happy ending for John.
Yeah.
Like, learn from the first time.
I was a little confused though, because wasn't they were able to get John out of the well, but wasn't he chained up to the bottom of the well?
Maybe they threw him down.
That's another thing that I was like, it's a little contrived.
They had
like, what happened
with
that?
They had the
time is running out. We don't have time to cut to him unlocking himself. Yeah, okay. We're just gonna cut to him being in a blanket outside.
He picked it with one of the red beard bones.
Oh God!
Picked the lock got out.
Well, Strahd had a good moment. He's when they're talking about Sherlock. It's like, he's not a great man. He's better than that. He's a good one.
Aww.
And then Sherlock actually remembers Greg's name.
Greg!
Yes!
I love that.
So good, so good. But then, you know, that takes us to the end with Mary's voiceover about her two men,
her Baker Street boys.
Aww. What did you think about the ending?
I thought it was a good bookend I thought it was a good bookend to the series. I mean, there were a lot of things that we felt were contrived, but I feel like at the end of it, Mary was a genuine presence throughout the entire this season, and I feel like her ending it off was like an emotional cherry on top of the ice cream.
Yeah, I feel like it was a great epilogue, you know, to this saga of mysteries that have been unraveled. The emotional connection between all the characters, even our former villains, you know, I thought it was really nice, to the point where it's like, okay, I'll forgive some of the contrivances, because we get this nice little bookend.
And I also like the fact that, like we said, the final problem, which were Eros and Moriarty, allowed this new Sherlock and Watson to now focus on their relationship with Detective Lestrange and
Lestrange.
Lestrange.
Yep, sorry. I got you.
You got me.
Good old Greg.
Ask him.
Good old Greg.
And
that's where it came from.
It was a Bellatrix.
Detective Beatrix.
Lestrange. Because, you know, like I said, they set it up to where they're like, this is now where Sherlock and Holmes are. They can now focus on regular cases.
And it can end right here and now, or we could pick up the adventures of Two Men and a Baby.
Oh my goodness. How great would that be?
Yeah, and Molly.
It's all about the legends, the stories, the adventures. And did you notice when they were running out, a good bookend, that they passed the Rathbone place? Rathbone place?
No, I missed that.
Based off of, that was a nod to Basil Rathbone.
Basil.
Most known for.
Oh, and he put his hat back on.
Yes, and he did put his hat back on.
Because he's Sherlock Holmes. Out. He needs to wear the bloody hat.
I love the quick montage of, like, you see everyone pass in and out of their flat there. And seeing, like, they're living their day-to-day lives. Like, they're moving forward.
After they cleaned up the flat.
I will say one minor complaint about this season as a whole. Not nearly as much Molly and Greg as we've gotten in previous seasons. Mm-hmm. So, true. I get it because the focus was on Molly.
We did have a key scene with Molly.
Yeah, exactly. The focus was on Mary and John and Sherlock, so I get it. But it would have been nice to get a little bit more Greg and a little bit more Molly.
Especially if this was the end of the entire series. Exactly. Like, we don't know what
it feels like. They got chipped a little bit. Yeah.
Do you feel it's actually the end? Because this could be a bookend episode, especially how they ended. They're running in the promotional graphics of Sherlock in season one. They're running. This one at the end of season four, they're running.
I'm okay with this being goodbye.
Are you satisfied with this being the last episode, if it is?
No, I don't think so. I don't think so just because of what I just said. I think that there are more character developments there. I mean, we've only got a taste of Mrs. Hudson being this kick-ass, like, character. I think they can do so much more with her. I think Molly, after
that
whole...
Get her own comedy spin-off.
Yeah, after that whole, like, I love you scene, like, what do you do after that? Like, and then they hinted on... Irene Adler still being around. Yeah. Like, what's going to go on with that? There's so many other things that they can do besides this.
And I think that I know that Doctor Who is this team created the Doctor Who series as well. I think they can either go to a pre-Benedict Cumberbatch or they can fast forward, because right now the problem is that Benedict Cumberbatch and Martin Freeman are just so busy.
Yeah.
And they just don't have time to shoot anymore right now. So they could either recast to older characters, or they can go back before these two and then have younger characters.
I think they should recast.
Stephen Moffat is supposedly wrapping up with Doctor Who within the next, like, season or two, which I think is for the best. So we'll see. Maybe he'll devote more time to Sherlock.
And before we wrap up, a fun Easter eggs for you guys.
These are my favorite.
I love this. the menu Mycroft grabs at the end of last episode, where it had the number, the menu. It was a Reigate Squire. That's a nod to the adventures of the Reigate Squire, the name of the short story that appears in the memoirs of Sherlock Holmes. And then the dark allusion to the third brother, is a reference to actual Sir Arthur Conan Doyle. Thank you. I've been speaking for the last 4 hours. Stories written about Sherlock, and in those stories that they actually have a brother named Sharon Ford, which is
a reference to the prison.
And we actually know that Doyle actually considered the name Sharon Ford for the actual Sherlock name before it became Sherlock. Yes.
I like it.
And I already mentioned the building that they're running out from has the plaque that says Rathbone Place. Fun things.
Good tidbits.
Overall, like, real quick, last final thoughts of just the whole season in general.
I would say successful.
Dark, but emotionally satisfying.
I thought it was a really great what might be a series finale.
Yeah. I loved the cinematography. I think we delved emotionally deeper into characters compared to the physical. I mean, we got the internal intelligence that we always get, but, like, this really peeled away the layers at the characters, and I think that's why we love the show so much. But thank you, everyone. Thank you, everyone, for waiting 3 years and for us to come back and do this show. I'm very glad that we got the opportunity to cover these episodes.
Thank you, everybody, in the chat for playing with us.
Leave us comments so we can talk about the show some more with you.
Yes, unfortunately, we do have to wrap up as well. So in the meantime, where can everyone keep following?
Yes, thank you guys so much for tuning in. I am Timothy Michael. You can find me at I am Timothy Mike on Twitter and Instagram.
I'm Megan. You guys can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at TheMenguin. That's TheMenguin. And stick around for Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
On Tuesday, you can catch me on Political Culture on the 31st. And you can follow me at Drexel Hurd.
And you can follow me on Twitter at SerafiniTV. You can follow all of us here, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, all those fun social media platforms at AfterBuzzTV. Keep rating, keep commenting, keep subscribing. We do read all the iTunes comments. We got a lot of love there last time we did this after show. Keep spreading the love, and we love Sherlock. Hopefully this isn't our very last show.
Hopefully.
I hope not.
The Abominable Bride. Maybe we'll come back.
We might retroactively go back to The Abominable Bride. So stick around, you guys. And thank you for letting us talk about Sherlock once again. And we will talk to you next time, Sherlock.
Bye, Sherlock.
Bye.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.